Our most loving Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly bow before Thee, dear Father, in the name of Jesus, to come to praise Thy name. We come to ask Thy blessing upon this meeting, that each one's heart here would be lifted up, that we might be more edified, we might appreciate more of Thy character through this service. And we pray Thy blessing upon all the words spoken and the songs, the words sung, that these things would be a praise to Thy name. So we do seek in all things to give Thee the praise and the honor and the glory. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brethren, we thought that there could be no more appropriate theme for a song service than our hymns. Our hymns themselves, the fact that singing has always been a place in worship, not only in Christian worship, but in the Jewish worship as well. In times of joy, David led the procession of the ark to Jerusalem, singing and dancing before it. In times of sorrow, Paul and Silas in prison sang hymns as they waited the hours and passed the time till the Lord would intervene in their circumstances. No matter if our experiences are joyful or sorrowful, we should always have the attitude of how can I keep from singing? And that's the song that our choir is going to sing now, number 179, How Can I Keep From Singing?
How can I keep from singing?
All things are mine, since I am his. How can we keep from singing? Whether the songs are joyful songs or this one, whether they're sorrowful songs, whether the songs of rejoicing, whatever they may be, one thing should be true about every Christian hymn. Hymns are prayers. They are approaches to God. They are an expression of worship, expression of adoration. They call for a heart attitude. That is a heart that is coming to him in worship and adoration. So frequently, I think we as Bible students have sat and listened and heard these hymns over and over, and they're so much a part of our vocabulary that it's easy for our eyes to rove and to wander and not to think about the words and the reverence that the hymns contain. Let's all turn to number 362, and let's sing together these words, keeping in mind the spirit that is implied in hymns as prayers, the evening prayer and the consideration that's there. Oh, everybody join in singing, please. We sing a hymn of that nature, it's very easy to be reverent. Because we sing a hymn of that type, we're looking within ourselves. We're looking at those innermost sentiments that we need to express one to another. Other hymns express different sentiments, but they also should be sung reverently. Many of our hymns are composed with the thought of glorifying the greatness and the holiness of our God. And even if we know the words, let's, as we sing a hymn, look down at our books and read the words and let them penetrate into our minds as well as hearing them. We're going to sing once again together with the choir, Appendix B, Holy, 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 number 335 in your hymn book. Thank you. because our hymns do cover joyful occasions as well as somber occasions, and those are written to different temples. Some hymns, the joyful ones, are sung with the upbeat, because they express the joy that's in the heart. Others, the somber ones, the songs of sorrow, are written slowly, so we sing them slowly, and our sentiments are expressed more slowly. In the back of your hymn books, you'll notice that there are two indexes. The second index we use frequently. It's the index that classifies the hymns by the types of hymns. But in the first one is one we don't use very often. It's called a metrical index to tunes. And by using that, if sometimes you've sung a hymn and are so familiar with the tune, you can take any other tune in that same column and you can sing the words of another song in that column to that tune. I don't know what all these letters mean. I know CM is common meter, 7 beats to a measure. You've got a short meter, SM. You've got long meter. And then you've got numbers with the number of syllables per line so they can determine how the songs fit. But they always fit with one thought in mind, the appropriateness of the melody to the words. We're going to have two hymns now. First, a joyful hymn that the men's choir will sing. Number 342, Gladness Has Come to Stay. And then the entire choir will change tempo and sing number 3, Ah, My Heart Is Heavy Laden. Two different expressions, two different styles of our hymns.
Thank you.
still have your hymn books open to that hymn, followed it, you notice how the first line in every verse ends with a question mark, except for the first verse. And you notice how that line was always sung so slowly, so meditatively. And then you notice how the second half, the first line is so upbeat as the answer comes through. And then the quiet, be at rest. The answer is always the solace and the silence of God's peace and rest upon us. Many of our hymns, many of our prayers, are specifically called for upon very special occasions. Times when emotion takes the place of the logic that sometimes we'd like to think runs our lives, emotion that is so dear and so essential to developing a true Christian life. One of the beauties of the funeral is the way it opens our hearts in love and in sympathy outflowing one to another. And the beautiful songs that have been prepared to express the hope and comfort that's in our heart, and yet the sorrow that's there, so well expresses this. Let's sing together one of the songs that's written especially for that occasion, hymn number 51. And think again and read the words as you're singing to notice these sentiments and how beautifully they express the fact that we sorrow not as others that have no hope. Thy will be done. That must be what we always look for, regardless if it's the difficult experience of death or the more enjoyable experiences in our lives. Faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. All of our experiences are not so sorrowful. Perhaps the antithesis of the funeral is the wedding. The joy, the happiness as a new couple begins their married life together. And yet, you notice in marriage hymns, the beautiful solemnity that's there. Because although there's a joy of starting a life together, there's a challenge of that life being lived as one, and ideally for the Lord. One of the songs that's so often used is called the Wedding Song. Sister Linda and Sister Rebecca Larson will sing that for us. Thank you.
be with you.
Beautiful sentiments penned so long ago by Ruth fall so true to the ideals and love that should exist. Probably our most common use of hymns comes in opening our meetings, and probably our most tempting time to miss the beauty and the prayer and the petition that's in a hymn is at that very time. Some hymns are written specifically to try to prepare our hearts and minds for the solemnity of the worship that's ahead of us. One of the hymns that's along this line, and one we're going to sing together, is hymn number 97. How sweet to leave the world a while and seek the presence of our Lord. Dear Savior, on thy people smile, draw near according to thy word.
Thank you.
before leaving the area of hymns for special occasions, and there are many occasions where there are hymns that particularly are written to touch the sentiments of that experience. We saw this in the sweet sorrow that's in the funeral hymn. We saw it in the sweet joy that's in the wedding hymn. But there's one experience that combines the two. We have one experience where we commemorate both death and life simultaneously. And that's baptism. We are buried into Christ's death. We're risen from the baptismal waters. And how I think we all enjoy as we attend a baptismal service, particularly the songs that are sung in connection with it, and when there are more than one candidate, the individual verses that seem to apply so beautifully to that given individual. One of the lovely baptismal hymns that the choir is going to sing for us, I guess it's the women's section of the choir, is number 33, Buried with Christ. And particularly for baptism, because notice the baptismal waters that are in the hymn. So many of our hymns, as those of you who notice in the book table of the book about the story of 101 hymns and its sequel, will have noticed our hymns come from many sources. Many Christians have been moved by their experiences to express their sentiments in poetry, and this poetry has been picked up into words and to music as well. But it isn't only writers from various religious sources. But among the Bible student movement, from time to time, there have been many brethren who have written their poems, and these too have been set to songs, and they form a unique part of Bible student heritage. In the reprints, there's a series of these songs back in that page, right around page 1915 to 1930. And one of those that I think has become very popular with the brethren as they've heard it sung from time to time, because the sentiments are so much Harvest Truth Sentiments, is the song, The Great White Throne. The choir will sing that for us now. I lost my microphone. As the past 100 years of the harvest has gone down the stream of time, those songs that were written have been succeeded by other songs that were written by our brethren and our sisters in Christ, as they've sought to express the beauties and the thoughts of the truth. In particularly, the theme keeps coming back of that great restitution and of the joys that it will bring. And these songs have not only been in the early days, but even down in our own day. I think many may know the story of the next song that a small group is going to sing. It's called The Bird Song. It was written by our brother Paul Lagno as they were leaving the Columbus, Ohio area to go to Omaha. He left behind a patient who was invalid, and it was a song of hope for him. Not just for him as an injured little bird, but of the total restitution that would not only restore him, but the entire human race. So sort of think of that story as the group sings the bird song. one sick boy becomes a parable for one sick and dying race, and his eventual being brought back to health becomes a promise that all will have that same health and that same joy. And isn't this so true, that when one is a little different than the others, how there's a tendency to look just a little bit down on him, to say, well, you're not quite like us, you can't be quite the same. And how in the restoration, each will have their uniqueness and their differences, but each will be part of the grand and the glorious whole that makes up God's plan for man. You notice how the style between the hymns of 100 years ago, before the great white throne, and the modern hymns, the bird song, the style has changed, but the sentiment hasn't changed. The sentiment is still there of the glory and the beauty that will come to mankind through that great resurrection. Over the years, hymns have been written to express the revivals of hope. And I always think that one of the beauties of these is an ancient hymn, the hymn, The Faith of Our Fathers. Militant hymn, but a hymn of strength, a hymn that said, we will stand out for an ancient faith and not be taken in by the changes that have occurred over the years. The choir is going to sing on this famous Reformation hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. Faith must be a living faith, a faith that continues to grow and a faith that motivates, and a faith that cannot be stymied by the winds of error, but keeps coming back to the one center point, the Word of God. We had mentioned that one of the most frequent uses of hymns was in opening our meetings. The second most frequent use of hymns, in fact, is just as frequent, is closing our meetings. And here again, special hymns have been written to express our sentiments as we part one for another until we have a chance to meet again at Jesus' feet. Hymn 84 is one of these. We'll sing this hymn together. We're going to rise on the last verse of this hymn, and we're going to ask Brother Lenny Grice to come forward and offer a closing prayer.
Father, we're truly grateful that we have this opportunity to worship Thee. We do ask that You bless the words which have been spoken, bless the words which have been sung. More importantly, bless what is in our hearts that we may rejoice every day in what You have given to us, and that we might live every day more and more to praise and honor Thee. We ask now Your blessing as we depart. Be with us through the night, continue in our fellowship. We might gather together again, or that we might depart in safety and peace, till we can gather together again. We ask these things and give You all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Put your faith in action. faith in action, give a helping hand. Put your faith in action, bow your head and pray. Put your faith in action, bow your head and pray. The world will see, the world will know, the love that's in your heart will bubble up and overflow. Put your faith in action, bow your head and pray. Put your faith in action, turn away from sin. Put your faith in action, turn away from sin. The world will see, the world will know, the love that's in your heart will bubble up and overflow. Put your faith in action, turn away from sin. Put your faith in action, walk with God each day. Put your faith in action, walk with God each day. The world will see, the world will know, the love that's in your heart will bubble up and overflow. Put your faith in action, walk with God.
To despair. To the end of Thank you. You, my soul, help me, my evil's gone. The body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but he wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow. Sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the waters that day, he was baptized in the usual way. When it was done, God blessed his son. He sent him his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove. He sent us his love, on the wings of a
Thank you. Thank you. I sincere desire, mirror my God to thee. Oh, draw me closer, though it is a cross that raises me.
Thank you. Thank you.